Good morning. Thank you for joining us today at Calvary Baptist Church. If you wouldn't mind, stand with me as we sing our first song, Only Trust Him. Lift it up this morning.
Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting.
And every one of you here this morning, and aren't you glad that we have a God that we can fully trust in, and nothing about Him that causes us to distrust Him? And I'm so thankful that the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and we can do just that. Well, let's pray and ask God's blessings upon this service. We praise you, Father, this morning for being present in our life. And thank you in your word, you have promised us that you would never leave us nor forsake us. And I thank you that we can trust you, not only when times are good, but when times also are difficult. I thank you that you are real then, you are real at all times in our life. And thank you for the opportunity and the freedom that we have yet to assemble together as we are here this morning. And I would ask that you would speak to our hearts through your word. May we be challenged. May we again be deeper in our relationship with you as a result of being here today. And I would ask that you would continue to bring not only a physical healing to our country, but also a spiritual healing to our country as well, that the hearts of people would be turned towards you. So bless now throughout this service. May you be exalted in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Sing with me again this morning. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Real quick, the Bible tells us that they that worship Him should worship Him in spirit and in truth. These older songs say a lot of times they have really good lyrics, but sometimes we get in this rut. Sometimes it's very easy for us to just sing the song and not think about what it's saying, because let's be serious, we've sung it 1,000 times. Some of us has grown up in church. So let's look at these songs, though older, take them and look at them and look at the lyrics and realize the wonderful truth about them and sing them to the Lord. Sing with me this morning, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, to trust Him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how
on the last verse.
Christ Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust Him more.
Sing with me again this morning, When We See Christ.
Good to see you this morning, and I like this. We got a child looking down, laying down on the floor. This is neat. I like it. And got one over here coloring. And now you adults got to stay awake. That's your challenge, all right? And but good to see each and every one of you. Good to have BJ and Kathy and the family here with us this morning. BJ's been helping us this week and renovating the fellowship hall and looking sharp. We'll put in the new floor this week, making some progress there. And welcome to BJ and Kathy. Next Sunday evening, we'll be having our first ever hymn sing. And that pretty much is what it is all about. It'll be a night of music. All right, Brother Brady, this week will be putting that all together for us, and we'll look forward to a good time. That'll be next Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, so you don't want to miss that. It'll be a time of encouragement, and music is always a lot of fun. And this is what Brady loves to do anyway, and so it'll be right up his alley, and look forward to that opportunity next Sunday night. Also, you don't want to miss TJ Sleff's open house. It'll be on Saturday, July 25th, and that'll be a good time, so make it there if you would. And then also today, be sure to worship the Lord with your offering as you leave. We have the box right there at the back of the auditorium, and continue to remember not only our general giving needs, but also our missionaries. You folks have been good over these last few months of the virus going on, and needs are being met. Praise the Lord for that. That was one of my greatest concerns when this first hit us, was are we going to be able to maintain our missionaries, and are we going to have to cut back, anything of that nature. But you for the Lord. And but I want to encourage you to just continue to be faithful, to give, and God will bless you for that. All right, take your Bibles this morning, and let's turn to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, and this morning we're going to Revelation chapter 13. Currently, we are in a series entitled Future Events That Will Rock the World. Future Events That Will Rock the World. If you'll bring the slide up there, and I want you to see this. If you remember, back in March, I actually started this series of messages on a Wednesday night, before we knew that COVID was even an issue here in our country, and got into the series just a couple of weeks, and then we weren't able to meet for a few weeks. But I was not a prophet then, I'm not a prophet this morning, but the Bible does lay out for us future events that are going to really rock the world. And we this morning are going to look at, in Revelation chapter 13, a message entitled, A One World Ruler. On December 25th, 1989, these following words were spoken. What a wonderful Christmas present we have received this year. The Antichrist is dead. Those words were spoken on the day that Nicolae Ceaușescu and his wife were executed by a firing squad in Bucharest, Romania. I've actually have been there. I wasn't there at that time. It was a few years later that I went there. I was able to see where all of that transpired and so forth. And but they, that is the Romanians, had believed that he was such a tyrannical leader that they likened him unto the Antichrist. Well, is the Antichrist dead? The answer to that is no. Who is he? I do not know. The Bible gives us a description of what a one-ruled ruler will look like during the time of the tribulation period. Now, let me say at the outset of this morning, we as a church are not looking for the Antichrist. We are looking for the true and living Jesus Christ. Amen? That's who we are looking for. But it is important for us to understand that there is going to come a time in which there will be a world ruler that will come on the scene and rule for a period of 7 years during the time of the tribulation period. We looked at him actually introduced in Revelation chapter 6, where he comes on the scene as a man of peace. He will, if you would, confirm, according to Daniel chapter 7, he will confirm a treaty with Israel. And there will come a time when there is, quote, peace in Israel and in that Mideast region. And he will confirm that treaty, and that will be like an introduction of the Antichrist coming in on the white horse, which, by the way, that's how Jesus, when he comes in Revelation chapter 19, he also will come on a white horse. But notice with me, if you would, this morning, some truths about this Antichrist, this one world ruler. And then as we notice him this morning, we'll not only notice how he's described, but we will notice his actions. And so notice with me, if you would, beginning at verse number 1 and verse number 2, we notice the description of the beast or the Antichrist. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his names, the heads, the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth is the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. So in verse number 1, we see this appearing of this beast. He comes out of the sea, the Bible says here in verse number 1. And when you see oftentimes that word sea in the Bible, it is likened unto a group of nations. A group, in this context, a group of Gentile nations. For instance, in Isaiah chapter 57 and verse number 20, it says that the wicked are like the troubled sea. And we find in this context that what comes up out of the sea is this beast. And as he comes on the scene, we see that the Bible describes him with 10 crowns. Which again, as you study this out with Daniel chapter 7 and Daniel chapter 9, and by the way, when you read Revelation, you need to read Daniel. And when you read Daniel, you need to read Revelation. Because there is a lot of truth that coincides with both of those books that will help you understand one or the other. So when you read Daniel chapter 7, you will find that there Daniel had seen 4 nations or empires. He had seen the Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persia Empire, the Grecian Empire, and the Roman Empire. That one day the Roman Empire will be revived, and out of that will come this Antichrist, and he will come out of those Gentile nations, if you would. For years, Bible teachers have taught, and I'm not saying I'm better than they and have more knowledge than they, because if I mentioned some of their names, you would say, my, they're very educated, and they are. But I'm telling you that there is not a dogmatic position on this, that for many years people thought, and I'll be honest with you, I was one of them, who believed that the Antichrist would be a Jew. But if you study this carefully, he comes up out of the Gentile nations. Now, again, why is that significant? Because he is going to then come on the scene as a man of peace, but it does coincide with what Daniel was teaching, that out of this revived Roman Empire would come this world ruler. Now, in verse number 1, it says that he has a name of blasphemy. And I'll touch on that as we get to verse number 5 and verse number 6. But in verse number 2, it talks about his appearance, that he is likened unto a leopard. He's very swift. He is likened unto a bear, that he walks and it with great ferociousness. And he is like a lion, fearless and fierce. And in verse number 2, this is so important to see. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. So this Antichrist gets his authority and power from one individual who has, ever since his fall from heaven, has wanted power, and that is Satan himself. Go with me, if you would, to chapter 12. Chapter 12 of Revelation, and notice now verse number 3. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and it cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now, I'll give a message in another week or so on Israel's place in future times. What's God's plan for Israel? He has a plan. But here we find that the Antichrist and also Satan will come against Israel. But notice now in verse number 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So verse 9 clearly tells us who this dragon is, as you go back to chapter 13 and verse number 2, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. So this Antichrist, this one world ruler, will be able to have his position and power from Satan himself. He has a striking resemblance. And we find then in verse number 2 of chapter 13 that he is going to rule and reign. It's interesting as you study the book of Revelation, how much, if you would, demonic spirits you see, and also how demonic, if you would, the times will be during the time of the tribulation period. That is not on accident, because the one who has wanted power ever since his fall, the one who has wanted worship ever since his fall, will one day get it through, if you would, the person of the Antichrist. So we have Satan, we have the Antichrist, and then, as we'll get to this in a moment, we have the false prophet. So, if you would, we have the unholy Trinity. The Bible teaches us about a holy Trinity: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But in this context, he is introduced to us, that is, this beast, the Antichrist, he is referred to us as one who gets his authority from Satan. So we see the description of the beast in verse 1 and 2. Now come to verse number 3 and 4. We see also, secondly this morning, the deception of the beast. He is going to be very deceptive. Look at this. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. Please note this. It says that all the world will wonder. Years ago, prophecy teachers and preachers would wonder, how would this ever be that the world could wonder after the beast? How is it that the world would ever take a mark in their hand or in their forehead? How is it that these things could come to pass? Because then we didn't have the technology. Now we have the technology. We can sit here and we can see BJ and his family while they're in Tanzania. We can just get on Facebook and we can communicate. Years ago, we didn't have that technology. Now we have it. How is it that the world is going to wonder after this Antichrist? Well, the Bible here tells us that he is going to come on the scene and he will have the power of deception. Now notice this with me, if you would, in verse number 3. He says, I saw, as it were, one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death. If you read some other passages in the book of Revelation, it is widely believed that his death will be by way of a sword. Again, I won't be too dogmatic on that, but he will be wounded to death. And then we find that he will then be healed from that, and he will be raised up so much to the point that the world will wonder after the beast. Let me give you just a small snippet of this, what this is like. Though I was born in 1960, was it 1963 that JFK was, yes, 1963, John F. Kennedy was assassinated, our president. Now again, I'm only 3 years old, but do you realize, even at the age of 3, I don't remember all of the drama that surrounded that, but I do remember that. I remember my mom and dad. It was like the whole world just stopped for a while. And I remember that. Some of you probably that are older remember that moment. And how, if you would, there was just a somber mood that had come over our country. Well, when this happens, and this Antichrist is wounded to death, and then we find that he then is brought back to life, we find that in the context, the world is going to wonder after the beast. And he will be an object of wonder. He will possibly be a European leader who will form a 10-nation federation, but be slain in the process, then be raised by Satan. See, I didn't think Satan had that kind of power. He has power, but he doesn't have all power. It's important to remember. So the world rejected the resurrection of Jesus, but the world will believe the resurrection of the Antichrist. Now look with me, if you would, at verse 4. He will be the object of worship. Look at this now. And they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Satan has always wanted to be worshiped, and one day that worship will come, one, through the person of the Antichrist. The world will not only wonder after him, but the world will bow down and they will worship this world ruler. Isn't that something? It reminds me of what Jesus said to the woman at the well in John 4. He says, you worship, but you know not what. And in the time of the tribulation, the world will wonder and worship the Antichrist, but they will worship they know not what. Now come to verse 5. In verse number 5, we see the destruction of the beast. Look at verse 5 and 6. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. That's 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. So what kind of destruction will this beast, this Antichrist, carry out? Well, one, he is going to defy the God of heaven. Look at what it says here in verse number 5, that he will speak great things and blasphemies. He's wanted worship, now he's going to get it, but it's all going to be anti-God, anti-Christ. Now look in verse 5 as well, we see that it says that he will continue this for 3.5 years. He will then destroy the saints of God in verse number 7, where it says, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Yes, the Christians that are alive during the time of the tribulation period, there will come a time when the Antichrist will come after them, when the Antichrist will come against them, when the Antichrist will destroy them, do what he can to put them in jail, do what he can. You say, well, Pastor, this sounds so far out. No, I'm telling you, this is Bible. This is what is going to come during the time of the tribulation period, where the Antichrist will make war with the saints and they will be overcome. Now, I know that doesn't sound very encouraging. Stay with me, because I'm going to get to the encouraging part here in a little bit. But he is going to make war against the saints during the time of the tribulation. Now look at verse 7. He's going to dominate all the nations of the earth. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Alexander the Great cried when there were no more kingdoms to conquer. Well, the Antichrist will be able to carry it out. Verse number 8, he's going to be able to delude the masses. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Listen carefully. During the time of the tribulation period, the Antichrist will have such sway over people that people will worship him. You say, well, who will those people be? The Bible tells us. Verse 8, all those who are not written in the Lamb's book of life. Here's another way, if I can have the liberty to say it this way. All those who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior in the time of the tribulation period will worship the Antichrist. That's what verse 8 says. All of those who know Jesus Christ as Savior, during that time of the tribulation upon the earth, they will not, if you would, bow down and worship, as we will notice here in the rest of this chapter. But this Antichrist is going to be able to delude many people. They will worship him. Years ago, there was a Secretary General of NATO. His name was Dr. Spak. And he said that this is quite a few years ago. But listen to what he said, that the peoples of Europe are looking for a man so powerful that he could hold the allegiance of all peoples of Europe and, quote, be he man or devil, we are ready to receive him now. What a statement. Be he man or devil, we are ready to receive him. Well, one day, that is going to come to pass. Now, notice with me, in verse number 11, we see the devious henchman with the beast. Remember, I talked about the unholy trinity, Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. Let's quickly look at the false prophet. Let's look at what the Bible says, beginning of verse number 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And so how will this false prophet get people to worship the Antichrist? The Bible tells us there are three main ways. One, he will do it through deceiving wonders. Verse number 13, and he doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. This is what the false prophet will be able to do during the time of the tribulation. By the way, in chapters previous to this, the Bible talks about two witnesses that will be in Jerusalem. And they will have, if you would, great power given to them by the true and living God. And no man will be able to, if you would, hurt them or destroy them until God is done with them. So when their time is done, it's interesting then that the false prophet will be able to come on the scene, because the world has been able to see these two witnesses do some great wonders and works. Now they're off the scene. The world has a great celebration that these two witnesses are dead and God takes them back into heaven to be with him. And now the false prophet comes on the scene and he just like continues to do great wonders so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth. So he deceives them and he is able to get the world to worship the Antichrist, one through deceiving wonders. But notice this, in verse 14, he'll be able to do it through, quote, enforced worship. None of you, maybe you kids might say differently, but none of you here this morning were forced to come here. Right? You came on your own volition, you're here, you wanted to be here. But one day, during the time of the tribulation, this false prophet is going to have it where people are forced to worship the image of the beast. Look at this now in verse number 14. Saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Wow. Really? Hey, aren't you glad again that our worship unto the Lord on a daily basis is not forced? It is voluntary? That I get up in the morning and I grab my Bible and I get on my knees and pray. No one's forcing me to do that. I just love the Lord. I want to know more about Him. But during the time of the tribulation, the kind of worship here is not anything like the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this false prophet will force people to worship, to bow down before this image, and if you would not, he says, you would be killed. And I know this sounds like far out. No, that wouldn't happen in the world. But God says it will. Amen. God says such a time is going to come when the false prophet will force worship of this image of the beast. Now look at verse 16. This is another way he will force worship. And this one is interesting. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. In other words, 666. That is what I call the brand from hell. And we find in this context that the false prophet will be able to force, if you would, everyone to receive a mark in the right hand or in their forehead. And if you don't have it, you can't buy or sell without it. Now again, that sounds like far out. But let's try to bring it a little closer to home. And I'm not trying to read anything into this, so just stay with me. But I'm going into stores lately, and I'm seeing a very familiar sign. Due to a coin shortage, we're asking you to use your credit card or your debit card. In of itself, that's harmless, but I'm seeing it everywhere. And there is a lot of discussion on the internet about moving toward a cashless society. Now again, you say, well, that's on down the road, you know. But I'm telling you, the world system is definitely getting set up. It could be years from now, but understand these things take some time to set up. And so the false prophet will force people to worship the Antichrist through a system of controlled wealth. And we find that in this context that he will cause everybody to have a mark. And it says, now catch this in verse 17, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So that time is going to come. For instance, some of you have pets. And, you know, now it's very common for pets to have a chip put in them so that if they're lost or found and so forth. In our state here, our legislators passed a bill. I believe it was signed by our governor. I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure it was. That you will not be forced as an employee, and employers can't force it on you, to have a chip put into you. Now again, we're not talking about fantasy land here. We're not talking about something way down the road. This stuff is happening in the world today. Just go next door to our neighbor, Wisconsin, and there's a company there that has their employers or employees, all of them, have a chip in their hand. And the employees were talking about, oh, how cool this is. We can just go in and just check in and just wave our hand over and just check in this way. And we can just go up to the machine and get a snack and just put our hand up there. Now, while they may think that's cool and while they may think that's convenient, And I'm not saying that they have within them the mark of the beast. I am not saying that. But what I am saying, there will come a time in which the Antichrist and the false prophet will force a system upon the world. And in this context, that you can't buy or sell without it. Now, the Antichrist gives a number, church. But Christ gives us a name. Jesus says, rejoice, because your name is written in heaven. Praise God, as a 9-year-old boy, as far as I know, my name was written in heaven. My name will never be blotted out of the book of life. I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I have been sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, and no man can pluck me out of his hand. And we find in this context that while the Antichrist gives a number, Jesus Christ gives us a name. I want to ask you, is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Have you been saved? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? If so, say amen. Amen. Greatest knowledge in all the world is to know Jesus. If you don't know him today, come to know him. You can know him as your personal Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And when you get saved, you become a child of God, forever his. What a relationship. Now let me close out with this. One day, 666 is going to meet 777. Go to Revelation chapter 20. You got to see this. Because I want to end this on a positive note, because we as a church are not looking for the Antichrist. We are looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Revelation chapter 20, verse number 1 and 2, it says, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Now, without getting too far off on this, one day after the tribulation is over, then there will be a time of 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ upon the earth. After those 1,000 years are over, then Satan will be loosed out of this pit to deceive the nations, according to verse number 8. But now notice in verse number 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Amen. Amen. I mean, I'm telling you, when you hear me say we're on the winning side, we are. That's just not a nice cliche. That is biblical truth. We as God's people are on the winning side. Jesus Christ defeats Satan, and Satan will be tormented day and night forever and ever. So will the Antichrist. So will the false prophet. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. So you see, though while we as a church understand that there is coming this one world ruler, we're not looking for that Antichrist world ruler. We're looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He's coming. He one day will truly rule and reign on the earth. Are we ready for his coming? Are we ready for Jesus Christ to come? As I mentioned a couple of weeks ago when I preached another message on prophecy, it's easy to get in a prophecy message and say, well, if none of this stuff, if we're not going to be here, why even preach this? Why even teach this? There is great application for us. Number one, because Jesus Christ is coming, love him with all of your heart. Spend time daily with him. Love him more and more and more. Serve him faithfully. Just keep doing what you're doing as far as serving him, but add some fervency to that, because Romans 12 says, be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Look for the Lord daily. Look for him daily. And may I say this in closing? Tell others of the Lord. Did you get a chance this week, opportunity this week to tell anybody about Jesus? Did you get an opportunity to witness? I know some of you have because you have sent me some text. Praise the Lord for that. I'm telling you, this is what our country needs. Our only hope is Jesus. Amen. I'm going to keep repeating that in these messages because it will, as the Bible says, things will get worse and worse, but we don't know, if you would, church, when Jesus is coming because he said, no man knows the day nor the hour. Do you understand it could be another 20 years before Jesus comes? It could be another 50 years before he comes. No man knows the day nor the hour, but we believe that we, as I saw this week at times looking out the window, I could see out here in the west those dark clouds, they were coming. And my thought was, there's a storm coming. Those are storm clouds. Pretty soon, we'll have some rain here. And we did. And may I say, when you read the book of Revelation and you study prophecy, it's like, boy, we can see those storm clouds. They're out there. Now they're getting closer and getting closer and getting closer. But because they are getting closer, that means one thing for the church. Jesus Christ is coming.
Amen.
He's coming. So we need to look up and look for him to come. He may come today. Some of you need today to say, Lord, I want to live all out for you. We do not know the day nor the hour. Only the Father knows. But because time is short, let's be about the Father's business. Because night comes, he says, when no man can work. Work while it is day. Jesus Christ is our blessed hope. Amen. Let's pray. Now, Father, I thank you this morning, though while a difficult passage to preach, you do show us in this text that there will be a one world ruler for a time, and oh, how I'm thankful that it's only for a time, that will come upon this earth. I don't know, he might be here today. We just haven't been, the world hasn't been introduced to him yet. But we're not looking for him. We're looking for the coming of the true and living Savior, the Lord Jesus. And Father, how I pray that in light of this, that we know that these events are going to come on the earth and they're going to rock the world. It's hard to imagine being forced to worship or be killed. Though in some ways we know that this is happening in some parts of our world. But worldwide, how that this will come to pass. A cashless society. Without that mark, you can't buy or all of these things seem like fiction, just like fantasy, but it really isn't. It's your word. This is your plan. And how I'd pray that today, if there is someone in this congregation that is not certain if they died, they'd go to heaven, may they today come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive Jesus Christ today as their Savior. For Christians, Father, may we as a church be a church that is really awake. As your word says, awake to righteousness. That we are living fervently for you, serving you with all of our heart. That we are not found cold and callous toward things spiritually, but we are loving you with all of our heart. Help us. We need your help. We can't do this alone. And so we thank you for the Holy Spirit that is our helper. So help us to be living in light of the return of Jesus Christ. It's in his name I pray, now with their heads bowed. Would there be someone here this morning who would say, Pastor, I do not know Jesus as my Savior. In fact, I don't know if I died, I'd go to heaven. I would like to know. I need Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I want to know if I died, I'd go to heaven. If that's your need this morning, with our heads bowed, would you just raise your hand? I'll acknowledge it. You put it right back down. Anybody at all, while we wait, say, yes, Pastor, that's my need. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven, but I sure want to know. I really do. I really do. Just lift up your hand. I'll acknowledge it. You put it right back down. Would there be some here this morning who would say, you know, Pastor, my life, I know Jesus is coming, but I find myself lately distracted by life. I've not really been giving my all in my relationship with the Lord. Haven't really been spending a lot of time with Him. Haven't really been serving Him faithfully. And I know where I need to be, and I would that you remember me this morning in prayer, that I will get where I need to be in my relationship with the Lord and be faithful to Him and serve Him with all of my heart. That's my need this morning. Would you raise your hand, drop your hat, say yes. Yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Yes, yes. Are there others while we wait? God dealing in your heart this morning. Anyone else? Say, Pastor, that's me. That's my need. That's right where I need to be. I know where I am, but I don't want to stay there. I want to get closer to the Lord. I want to love Him with all of my heart. Yes, God bless you. Someone else? Someone else. Yes, God bless you. God's working in hearts this morning. One other thing, how many would say, Pastor, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt I'm saved. No doubt about that in my mind. But I realize that I really need to become more involved in this matter of telling others of Jesus. I don't need to be quiet anymore. I need to speak out in love and with boldness of the Holy Spirit, but I really need to start telling others of Jesus, because I believe that such a time is coming on the earth, and I want people to be ready. And Pastor, remember me in prayer this morning that I would just be a more fervent witness for Jesus Christ. If that's your need this morning, would you raise your hand, drop your hat? Yes, God bless you. Yes, 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 yes. Somebody else, yes, God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else while we wait? In just a moment, I'm going to have you stand, and Sherry will begin to play through our invitational hymn. As she does, I'm going to encourage you to just come and just kneel up here or sit in the front row and just take some time, or you can do it right there in your chair, but just come and just kneel here today and just say, Lord, help me. Help me to be a witness for you. Help me to be in a right relationship with you. Help me to tell others of you. You come. If you're not saved, step out this morning. I'll meet you here at the front. We'll have someone sit down and talk with you this morning. Greatest knowledge in all the world is know Jesus. If you don't know Him, He wants you to know Him as Savior. Won't you come? Now, Father, many hands have been raised. I'm so thankful that you see the hearts of these individuals. And for these individuals, I ask now that you would strengthen them, that you would help them, that you would enable them to live out that work that you're doing in their hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.